Bryan Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is Booker T.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Tito Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And NEC.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just finished with WWE SummerSlam, and if you watch this pay-per-view as a wrestling fan, slammed is a good word for it. We will get into that in a minute, though. However, this is, of course, the Omega, the be-all and all of the WTR Network, leading the way into another edition of the show. And once again, we're a few short, so I instead will introduce my Aussie friend, Mace.
I was frozen today!
With a reference that no one will get. I will welcome our special guest, Alan Wojcik.
I am a future evil ex, thank you.
And the man who caused it to be a good 15 minutes late because he was looking for his Metamucil, Mr. Tim Stein.
Ooh. Ooh. That was just wrong. I don't need Metamucil. I ain't what you call constipated or got the diarrhea. What the hell are you talking about, you doofus? I think, you know, I think you're a goofball and stuff. You know, you're a twerp. That's what it is. You're a twerp.
Oh. Whoa, twerp, that's harsh language. We're PG.
Hey, calm down there, Michael Cole. Watch it.
I tell you this much right
calling
now.
Calling me a duty head next.
You're dingleberry.
Face, Omega.
You're a dingleberry. Cut it out, you dingleberry.
No,
I'm just totally enraged by this dingleberry doofus goofusness.
And that's mom on you.
That's a vintage PG rant.
That was more entertaining than SummerSlam.
But, you know, hey, it's all good, chilling, relaxing, you know, like, kick back, man. You listen to the Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You feel me? You picking up what I'm dropping down? You know what I'm saying? It's all good. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Not really
never
speaking
know what you're saying.
Listen here, Dusty Rhodes. Just get going with the SummerSlam stuff.
I was hoping somebody was cool enough to understand what the hell I was saying. Now I gotta go Google all those goddamn words.
I mean, good God. Somebody just... I want to send a dollar to the WWE so they can buy a clue.
Oh, no.
Audience doesn't like Michael Cole.
No. WWE does not get any more money because of what they did to us tonight. And it hurt. They at least could have. They could have
made it personally.
They could have at least performed a reach around.
So Mace and I were the only two in the world that actually on OWW, Mace, who's been saying for all these months, it's a work, he's coming back. Oh yeah, that would be you.
Oh, he got cut off. Good. Jeez, he's just like going on. Oh, you see, I told you. Well, I got news for you, everybody. I think that pretty much everybody on the panel told you that it was a work, and we were extremely skeptical of the firing right from day one. And I gotta tell you, kudos to the WWE for pulling off such a great kayfabe work on not just the fans, but the internet wrestling community. That was
That was so fantastic how they spoiled it 5 minutes before it happened.
That would have been, you know, Cena was bragging on Twitter, you're going to miss WWE history tonight. He's like, and that would have been an awesome moment if they didn't fucking blow it.
Thanks for interrupting me. Much appreciated.
Months of working up and Joey Styles has something went wrong on his little website.
Did it get choked out by a tie?
No, but I'll tell you, should have been choked out by a tie. Yeah, WWE fucked up Daniel Bryan's return. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. We're going to review SummerSlam. Should call it Summer Shits, because that's what it gave me. In just a moment, let's get kind of somber and serious so we can get the crap out of the way. And I say crap because it sucks like ass to have to talk about something like this yet again. Lance Cade, ladies and gentlemen, found passed out, rushed to the hospital, revived, but not for very long. Lance Cade passing away at the tender age of 29. Now, this is yet another tragedy. Initial reports before the autopsy come out say that it was due to heart failure. Well, that's quite likely. Okay, sure, heart failure. What brought about heart failure in an otherwise healthy 29-year-old individual? His record, and this is the part where if Spug was here, he'd probably stop me right now and tear a strip off me for saying this. But Lance Cade was released by WWE for his addiction to painkillers. He almost died on a WWE flight that had to make an emergency landing because he went into seizures and he had to be treated immediately. Otherwise, he would have died on the airplane. Jeez. All right. Now, I'm just going to tell you all right there. I can understand, okay? I can understand mind-altering substances or use of anabolics. I can understand you want to be bigger, you want to be better, you want to be stronger. I can understand you don't want the pain. It gets chronic. I've lived in chronic pain since I was 18. Well, 17 and a half. I've learned to deal with it. And I was dangerously close to becoming addicted to prescription painkillers myself. I beat that. It was not easy. I can understand the difficulty. Okay? As strong as Lance Cade was and all these other people who have passed before him due to addictions, you know, as strong as they were weak in that they couldn't beat the addiction. Now, I'm jumping the gun, and I'm going to assume it's because of his abuse of prescription narcotic painkillers. And again, it's a tragedy. It's a horrible thing. He's left behind two little kids, okay, who will never, ever see their daddy again. Now, stop and think about that for a second. Some of you are parents. Some of you want to be parents. Some of you have parents. Okay? How would you like your kids to grow up not knowing their dad or not having their father anymore? Alan, you have a daughter, okay?
Stop. I have two.
Okay, you've got, well, okay, we only hear about the one, but you've got two little girls, okay?
Absolutely. And
answer me this. When you think about them growing up without a father, how does that make you feel?
This whole situation just makes me really sad because we, as Online World of Wrestling Radio, when we had Rob Conway on, he talked about Lance Cade, especially being in the ring with him and traveling with him, and it's just another sad situation. I mean, my wife's 28. This guy's a year older than my wife, and I'm just like, Wow. And if memory serves, he was actually under WWE contract recently. He was here in FCW, but I don't remember if he's actually appeared anywhere else. But, you know, to hammer your point home, yeah, I can't imagine being, you know, that age and just not, you know, I can't understand it. And it's hard to understand that another wrestler has succumbed. I'm straight edge. I've never had a drink in 35 years of life. I've never smoked. I've never done a drug. So I can't understand what he went through, or Eddie Guerrero, or go to celebrities like Robert Downey Jr. and Lindsay Lohan and all these other people. I don't understand it.
Well, it's so quite.
I can't mock it. I can't make fun of it. I'm more in a mourning stage. It's sad. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but it's really sad to see someone at 29 gone.
Yeah, I have a hard time mourning for somebody who deliberately does things like that. I mean, yeah, it's tragic. It's sad. I'm sorry it happened, but you fucking did it to yourself. Excuse me. I apologize for being a prick and coming across sounding like a real prick. Okay. Look, I make my own homemade alcohol. I enjoy a tipple once in a while. I don't get blind ass fucking drunk. I don't do stupid shit. I can't remember the last time I toked up. I can't remember the last time I 420'd. I remember the last time I took prescription painkillers and how much it took me to kick them. It took a fuck of a lot. And I kicked it because I didn't like what it was doing to me. Never mind the pain-killing effects. See, the thing is, Alan, these narcotic painkillers are extremely addictive, and the addiction is more than just, like, smoking is more psychological than physical. There's a physical addiction element to smoking. You're hooked on the nicotine and the other chemicals that they put in the cigarettes.
I live with a smoker. My wife smokes.
Okay,
so I know what it is. I am around wrestlers
here in
Florida. I've been around them, so I can see just the. It's not something that you can just walk to a light switch and go, no more drugs, click, okay, cool, let's go party elsewhere. It's not going to happen.
Relatively speaking, it's exceedingly easy to quit. I've quit smoking about 15 times. I keep coming back to it because I happen to like smoking. That's the rationalization and the excuse. Now, hang on. I heard you chuckle, but that's the rationalization.
That's how my wife is, too. My wife's like, I'm 28. I don't care. I'm going to die eventually. I'm going to have fun doing it. I was like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, it's that mindset that is the genesis for the addiction is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mace? I didn't mean to ignore you and Omega. I just, been wanting to get to you guys. But Mace, as somebody who works in the ring, how does this affect you, like, you know, philosophically?
You know what, Tim? Frankly, I don't give a flying fuck. It's sad Lance Cade died. Yes, I'm sad that I've lost yet another brother in the wrestling community. But seriously, I'm sick of these fucking debates every time somebody dies. Can we just fucking move on to SummerSlam?
All right. Well, we'll let Omega have a really quick say if you got one, and then we'll start reviewing that piece of shit we were unfortunate to watch tonight.
Yeah, it's sad to see him go. I'm sorry. It was under the circumstances it was, supposedly. Don't know. But it makes me angry. It makes me angry that And they've done it before. They did it with Jeff Hardy, too. When WWE sees that one of their workers is in trouble, they have a serious problem, they throw them away. They do the business thing. They wash their hands of them, don't want any part of it. Better he do it when he's not on our payroll. And I hate that attitude. And they've done
it's like the tough love thing you're saying, Omega? Is that what you're saying?
It's not a tough love. It's a no love. They see that that one of their workers, one of their employees, one of the people that makes the money is having major problems. And they ignore it. They ditch it. They throw him away. They don't do anything to help him. And this is the kind of thing. If he had help from someone like the WWE, if he had support, if he had treatment, maybe this might not have happened. Maybe if WWE
Didn't they send him to rehab or something? Well, before he got brought back a second time, didn't he go through rehab, Rock? You say Rock saying he did.
He went through.
But like I said, Robert Downey Jr. has been in and out of rehab, I think, 8-9 times.
Yeah, he went through rehab, but the first time WWE saw this and he had that episode on the plane, they fired him right out. They didn't help him at all. You know, and they did, that's what they're trying to do with Jeff Hardy. It's like they're waiting for him to burn out too.
Yeah. Well, you can't force somebody to do something that they empirically don't want to do. So everybody, hearts out to the family of Lance Cade. Now, moving on, why don't we actually get into this WWE SummerSlam? And I don't think that they should call it that, because this is not... This is not reminiscent of any SummerSlam I've ever had the pleasure of watching in the past. This was weak.
SummerSlam.
Well, SummerSlam Show Part 2?
Yeah, well, no, JR, earlier.
Sunday Night SmackDown.
There you go. Yeah, JR earlier said that basically this was a three-match pay-per-view, and he wasn't far off the mark with that, to tell you the truth. But why don't we take a really quick look at it here, take a quick look at the opening matches for the Intercontinental title, Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler. Turns into a no contest. Your opening match is a no contest. Nexus comes out and beats up Kofi. What, they needed to get more heel heat for these guys, Mace?
Oh, it seems like it. They pretty much wanted to try and get these guys into, like, some sort of mega heel status before the main event. And I guess it cost us a lukewarm match with Ziggler and Kofi. Wow. So glad to see SmackDown starting off great. I mean, sorry, whatever the hell that we're calling this fucking thing.
Yeah, I think Omega coined it nicely, Sunday Night SmackDown. There you go. Omega opening match. Go ahead and talk about it.
God, yeah, well, number one, it was yet another one of those matches. You know, we just got it for free on television. Why do we have to pay to see it again? And yeah, it was a mediocre match again. Yes, it got interrupted by the Nexus, who apparently wasn't looking dominant and mean enough. I don't know, Kofi is a great wrestler to start a pay-per-view with. He's always good to get the crowd energetic. But when you, it's basically just a throwaway to make your main event heel look worse, since the last 3 months didn't do enough, that's horrible booking, in my opinion.
Yeah. Can't disagree with you. I heard you snickering, Alan. Go ahead.
I kind of get it. It works with the storyline of these guys were kicking butts all over Raw on Monday night, making sure that there wasn't a seventh person available. I sitting in our private chat. I was like, so they beat up Kofi. What's next? They're going to go around, beat up the popcorn vendors and beat up the t-shirt people to make sure they're not the seventh person. I feel, it's the Intercontinental Championship. And it's a little bit disrespected to have these seven rookies, even though some of them are not rookies, as if you research them. Do it on the girls' match. Chase the girls out of the ring. Let them do the promo there instead of crapping on it. I get what everyone else is saying. We just saw this match on Friday Night SmackDown, so... Yeah, it was just like, hey, great angle with these two. Whoop, change our mind. We want to get the seven guys out here already, so you forgot who they are because they're on our Monday night show every week.
There you go. Okay, so, yeah, it's a shame that a title match has to open up the pay-per-view in a no contest, but that's exactly what happened. Second match, those of you who didn't take the opportunity to take a leak, we're treated to Melina's return in the Divas title match as she takes on the champion, what's her name?
Alicia Fox. Formerly, yep. Victoria Crawford.
Before we get into this, can I say that I feel bad for all the big birds that had to die to make Melina's outfit tonight?
Dude, there's a Vegas showgirl sitting somewhere looking around going, where's my outfit?
No. I think you guys are wrong. I think Mace had it right. Mace, what was your speculation?
For her outfit, I believe that Omega stole my joke with the Big Bird reference.
Oh,
I did not steal it. I made it in the chat room tonight.
Yeah, but those were some real... I mean, if Bruiser Brody had worn those boots in his career, he would have been evil, too.
Those were some kind of boots, I think.
Oh, yeah, God. If the power had gone out in Staples Center, we all could have followed Melina out. That's how bright they were.
So there you go. So WWE scripters, bookers, writers, whatever you want to call them, screw this one up.
Retarded monkeys.
Yeah, retarded monkeys. There you go. They screw up this one, too. Melina wins the title.
Some of them used to work for Nickelodeon, dude, so what do you want?
Well, they're fucked up is what they are, okay? So Melina wins the Divas title. Yeah, I can understand. Oh, Melina's back. Yay, she wins the title. Oh, see, she's so hot, I want to bang her. Fuck off. It doesn't make sense she wins. Go ahead.
See, they follow the South Park formula. Seriously, get injured, that's step one. Step two, return and become number one contender. Step three, question marks. Step four, win title belt / profit.
Oh, the Underpants Bandits.
Yes. Seriously, that episode was written better than this that match.
That's
because we're making newer references later in the show, and Tim doesn't understand those.
Smartass. Anyway, in my opinion, they totally screwed up the booking of this one. Melina should not have won. When was the last time you ever saw somebody win the final match before the pay-per-view, then win the pay-per-view match, and in their hometown? Just for one thing. First off.
Unless your name was Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, I don't think that really happens that often.
You know, it doesn't happen that often. Usually you can tell who's going to win the match by who gets the worst beatdown on the last show heading into the pay-per-view.
Now, could the argument be made that putting Melina over in this match was a swerve to that usual formula?
Yeah, however, it makes absolutely no sense. We see her come back on the show and takes out Alicia Fox. There's no real build-up or anything like that. She's just, oh my God, Melina's back! You know? Boom.
And then instantly made her number one contender. It's like, I'll take that from the rest of the roster. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I suppose a case could be made for technically she never lost the belt, right? She was put on the shelf for almost a year with that injury.
Wah, wah, wah.
Right? So that, I guess, automatically makes her an instant number one contender for the title.
No, doesn't it? Should drop her straight back down to the bottom of the fucking pile because there's been people who have wrestled since then who probably deserve that shot more than she did.
Yeah.
Because by that logic, you know, you could have The Undertaker return and instantly get into a title feud with Kane. Oh, wait.
So you'd rather have Melina turn into Kurt Angle and take on the top 10 women's division only to have the angle killed by a bat?
I don't think we have 10 women on Raw for that.
To be honest, that would actually be more entertaining if they actually had, you know, women wrestlers on the fucking shows.
It actually kind of makes me feel bad for Gail Kim especially, who's had like 3 number one contenderships in this span and has like only 1 title match to show for it.
Yeah. So after the match, Lay Cole comes out and lays the beat down on Melina. Alicia Fox kind of sort of tries to get into it, and they lay the beat down on her, too. And I made the comment, there's your setup for the ladies' tag match at the next pay-per-view.
But I got a different prediction.
Night of Champions, man.
I reckon it's going to be changed into a 3-way because they've got to try and stop that double champion bullshit on SmackDown somehow.
That was hysterical to see them come out with a cut championship belt. I was like, what the hell, man?
It's like a Looney Tunes cut, too. It's like zigzag, perfectly down.
Yeah. It's a gimmick belt that they took from the concession stands, for crying out loud. It's not the real one. However,
it's so disrespectful for that to be your championship, though.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. kind of dumb. So anyway, there's the Divas title match. Melina wins. We kind of sort of chatted about it. Final thoughts, Omega, before we move on.
Decent for a women's match. I'm not looking forward to this build up that they're having now, though.
No, not one bit. Okay, Mace.
Meh.
I like that. Meh. Alan.
They should have sped that thing up because the two of them talking their way down there. And then Layla's British accent popping out was just hysterical to me because a friend of mine met her and Katie Burchill at movie theater he works at. And he said, there's two things that were amazing. I go, what? I said, well, first off, she's got a British accent. I go, really? Yes. Second off, TV doesn't do her justice. She's hot in person. I was like, okay, cool. So that's the fun part of enjoying that match was I got to go, hey, Layla's out here. Cool. And wow, that said, just the wardrobe people in WWE really need to calm it down a little bit, as we saw later on with the Mexican guy.
Right.
Foreshadowing. Sorry,
Mr. Pumpkinhead. We'll talk about that in a sec. Yeah. So next match up, the handicap. It's the Big Show versus the Straight Edge Society. Big Show wins. Hey, look at this. His hand's fully healed. Nice.
Meh.
That's a common thrust of the night. We'll get that on a t-shirt for you, Mace. Meh.
All I can say is, oi, Alan.
I didn't really care for this match at all. Anybody that actually thought the Straight Edge Society was going to win needed to have their head examined. Boring to me. Sorry, to be honest with you.
Oh, excuse me, but I gotta... can we talk about... No, wait. Okay. Omega, go ahead. Your turn.
I actually thought it wasn't that bad. I said it in our chat during the show. I actually liked how Big Show was being booked here because he should be booked to look that powerful. And the fact that he was doing it... I mean, of course, you know, it's against, you know, the Straight Edge Society, which is... Yeah, a bunch of former jobbers plus CM Punk.
Yeah, well, you're saying they should make Big Show look like an unstoppable monster. That's what they did with Andre the Giant for a time, Omega.
Yeah, but Andre the Giant, they'd only bring out on rare occasion and actually market him as a sight to see, whereas Big Show, you can see any week you want, but just... You know, I want them to be more consistent. Big Show should look this powerful and unstoppable. That's why you have a big wrestler like that. Instead of this magic on-off switch he seems to have on the back of his head that turns him strong, weak, strong, weak, strong, weak.
It's weird. It's almost like Lieutenant Commander Data from Star Trek. You know, he's got that on-off switch in the back.
Yeah, kind of.
There you go. And finally joining us, the one, the only, the Spud guy. Spud, we're talking about the handicap match, Big Show versus Straight Edge Society. You want to get in on that one?
Well, I was here before you, so, you know, you can't say finally joining us because my phone is about to die.
Well, technically, no, you weren't because I was here from the beginning. Anyway.
No, you weren't, or we'd have started on time. I wouldn't have got... Mace going, we have to wait 15 more minutes for the old man because he has to take his Geritol and his Alzheimer's medicine.
God.
Yeah. Anyway, I was here from the beginning of the pay. I was here pay per view. So shut up and tell us what you thought about the handicap match.
First of all, I want to comment on the Melina match.
No. You're going to get a chance to really quickly go over the first two matches after you talk about this one.
This was the second match, ass. No, it was the third.
No, it was the third, dude.
It was the third. No, I want to talk about... No, it was all right. It was all right. I don't think they did a good enough job marketing the feud, so to speak. Simply because Omega's right. They're making Big Show look very average. He's just big, you know? They're not playing to his strengths as someone who has superhuman size, and they need to do more of that. Unfortunately, WWE won't, and they'll continue to go on the path that they're going. Although, I must say, CM Punk looks fucking ugly. with the short crop hair. Either shave it or keep the mask on till it grows out, please.
Now, here's the situation. You can't say fugly because it's PG. You have to say bugly, which is the PG way of saying fugly, which would be butt ugly as opposed to fucking ugly.
Wow.
No, he's fucking ugly.
Okay, there you go. All right, so talk to us really quickly about the IC title match to open up the pay-per-view, Kingston versus Ziggler. No contest.
That was weird. The way that finished, I was like, why are they having Nexus interfering in a match that has nothing to do with their feud, let alone it's not even on the same show?
Like, yep.
Why is Nexus interfering in a SmackDown, you know, show match? I didn't get it. And the fact that the only Raw match that I can think of that was on the card was the... No, there were a couple. Sheamus Orton, Melina. It was more of a SmackDown feel to the SummerSlam than a combined show, first off.
Yeah, okay, good enough. All right, now you can talk about the woman that you want to watch your wife have sex with, Melina.
Oh, fuck that. I would lick that woman's asshole clean. You have no idea.
I've already been in too informed.
Oh, man, wow. I don't want to hear about you tossing someone's salad. All right, just dude, talk about match, dude.
That's what the pay-per-view felt like.
Yeah, we all got our salads collectively tossed and paying for that fucking train.
Dude, this was a prison rape.
Oh, my God, I would let that woman fart on my eye.
Okay.
My God.
She is gorgeous.
Thank you for describing metaphorically your Woody for Melina. Talk about the match.
I think I did. Okay. She looked hot as hell tonight. I don't know what that whole little sun thing she had on coming out, but she did. She looked hot.
You know what that reminded me of? That year that Rey Mysterio came out with that weird
Feathers and all that, the Aztec Warrior thing at WrestleMania. Yeah, it was kind of reminiscent of that. But she looked good. The chick she was wrestling sucked. I thought she blew out her knee on the one kickover. Oh great, here we go. She's going back on the DL. And then the whole leg cool thing. I just really wanted her to punch Michelle McCool in the mouth.
Michelle McTaker.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Michelle McTaker, quick little side note. someone showed me a small little internet wrestling blurb from some house show that WWE did, and you know we all know how they like to bring in local talent from time to time when they do their house shows to check them out. They brought some female wrestler in at a house show to wrestle Melina. And it was one of those combined house shows where they were, you know, they're getting ready for the pay-per-view and all that. And this poor girl was in the locker room before anybody else was, set her bag down, and was going to get changed. And Michelle McTaker came in and threw a hissy fit because the girl had put her bag where Michelle McTaker was going to put her bag and sit and got in this girl's face and screamed at her, "Do you know who I'm married to?"
What a douchebag.
I was like, really?
What an absolute douchebag.
Like, she was screaming at this girl. This girl had done nothing wrong. You know, she's screaming, "Do you know who I'm married to?" And I'm like, wow, that is just all kinds of wrong.
No kidding. Wow. Well, hey, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have taken a look at the first three matches. We've got, like, three more matches to take a look at. And we're going to do that right on the side of our first time out of the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Show. Oh, cracking up, turn on them lights, turn them on. Oh, you're waiting for something that you never know. You're This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this.
Shut
up. For the Trump Rob parts.
Why doesn't Rob Parts do it?
We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everyone was listening to that. Forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do? Right.
I'm Rob. Your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Booyaka, motherfucker! Yo, welcome back to the WNL preview show. Wonder if Ustream will ban us for me saying that. Good natured, yes, don't mean anything by it. Just having a little bit of fun. I hope everybody who caught that has a sense of humor and doesn't get upset. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. Let's
Fail!
Shut up! We're in the middle of talking about WWF Summerfest. We don't want to say anything trademarked or copyrighted because we don't want to get in trouble with certain people. Sometimes Ustream, yeah, sometimes Ustream sucks ass. That's all I'm going to say. So, back to the pay-per-view. Right after the handicap match, The Miz came out, talks about joining Team WWE. He agrees to join, but didn't he steal from The Rock?
Well, since Tim's not going to ask anybody's fucking opinion, I'll jump in here like he told us not to do.
I paused so you could jump in.
And say, yes, he did steal from The Rock so bloody much, yet I was only half paying attention because I was falling asleep during this promo.
You were falling asleep during a Miz promo? You don't think his mic works any good?
Not lately. He's been getting worse and worse, and I'm still having a hard time working out what gets me to sleep faster, a Miz promo or a Spoonie rant.
Ooh, Omega.
I'm sorry, but I was all over this promo. To this point, this is what entertained me the most in this entire pay-per-view, and that is a really bad thing. I've liked Miz on the mic. I've been a fan of his work. I mean, yeah, he's the right guy for Money in the Bank right now because he's probably going to be the next guy to come up to world title. But, yeah, there's a little bit of The Rock stealing in here, especially when he's tried to stop the audience from finishing his catch line. And, you know, so I've seen a lot of wrestlers have to do that. We used to see Estrada coming out, and he's the heel, but people started finishing his line.
Yeah.
He stopped them, too. He did a lot more subtly than Miz.
Yeah.
But the way that he did it was to legitimately stop it. The way Miz did it was, the whole point was to work the crowd over, and, you know, of course they're still going to do it. You know, they're going to use awful instead of awesome, or they're just going to finish it because they're having fun. Whichever. That was the point, and yep. I thought it was fine. I had no problem with it.
In the back of my head, every time he says, I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome, I say to myself, yeah, awful, when he says awesome. I've been doing that for a long time now. But, you know, what can you do? Spug.
When it is, you're playing along.
There you go. Spug. Must still be in the bathroom. Alan.
I'm here. Sorry, Abby woke up, and it's okay. Abby's more important than you guys for the moment. If you're talking about the Mike Mizanin promo, I thought, okay, why are we slowing the show down for this? But it worked. To at least get the show moving. At least, you know, because it's like, alright, cool, he's number 7. Yes, awesome. I kind of have a Diamond Dallas Page flashback to the NWO, but hey, I'm old.
Huh. Okay, now that you're back, Spug, we're just talking about the Miz promo where he agrees to join Team WWE and rips off The Rock.
I'm not a fan of The Miz to begin with, so I'm going to say, I mean, it did kind of bring down the show.
Yeah.
I don't know why they put it in that particular spot. It would have probably worked better if it had been, you know, closer to the match as opposed to 3 or 4 matches before. So, it's The Miz. Who really gives a flying fuck?
There you go.
I give the PG version, and he just comes right in with that R-rated NC-17 stick and just smacks you right in the head.
Alan, this ain't OW fucking W radio.
I understand.
I get to swear here.
Okay.
He's got to swear here because you don't let him swear on Tuesday nights.
I got to get it all out somewhere.
Hey, I got to abide the big boss, man.
Big boss says,
watch the potty mouth. I have to abide. Not a happy fan about it some nights, but hey.
Well, you know what they say, shit happens. So
I'm proof of it, sir.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, the one thing that's really, really struck me with this was how much Michael Cole seems to like to, figuratively speaking, I'm assuming, suck the Miz's dick on a constant basis.
I have a theory. Just hear me out real quick. Theory. Michael Cole leaves Raw announce team to become the Miz's manager.
Really? And who's going to replace Michael? Who's going to replace Michael Cole?
Anybody, because it'd be better than Michael Cole.
Bring back Joey Styles.
I'd take a dead squirrel. How about that?
One of my cats.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the I just got an instant message saying that the Miz was sent out to cut that promo because that was the slated time for the Lay Cool versus Kelly Tiffany match that got thrown out the window when Tiffany basically beat up her husband, Drew McIntyre.
Allegedly,
and got suspended.
Honestly, do you really want to employ a wrestler that can get beaten up by a woman anyway?
Not really, no.
Dude, you fail at the Scottish accent, so why do you continue to do it?
Oh, that wasn't a Scottish accent. That was just me saying, not really. All I did was trill my R.
Right.
Wow. I rolled the R. Anyway, moving on. So that's the private message that I got, that his promo was so overly long. However, as we saw in the main event, they would have had to have him come out really quickly anyway or do something to say, yeah, I'm going to join Team WWE. If you didn't see the pay-per-view, you're about to find out. Match number 4, here it is, the WWE title match, and I have to admit that I was looking forward to this match in the pay-per-view, hoping that it would live up to my expectations. We're talking about the WWE title match, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Goddamn thing ends in a disqualification. Sheamus deciding he doesn't want to fight anymore, so he gets himself DQ'd, but retains the belt. Omega.
The one saving grace this pay-per-view could have had, and they decide to go with another shit finish. Yeah, this is the point where I really just started getting fed up with the pay-per-view, because we just had so many matches I had already seen on TV, and now we've had, this is one of the few matches that has some kind of build-up that, I can't say we haven't seen before, because of course we've seen Orton and Sheamus before, but at least we haven't seen it in the last 2 weeks compared to some of these other matches. And, God, why would this just means they're going to continue the feud. I can't think of anything else Raw would do right now, but, I was looking for something a lot better than this.
Yeah. Mace.
Now let me tell you, here's something, fella. This match was absolutely the fucking dog's bollocks, fella. It was fucked up, fella. Because I tell you what, the only thing Sheamus did tonight, fella, was make Randy Orton look like a black man.
Oh, now where's my Irish spring?
Oh, you do Irish like I do Scottish. However, you do say fella pretty good. Mace, thank you for that. Spug.
I'm not sure why they gave it the shit finish, but it did look like, it honestly did look like Sheamus botched the ending, and I told Omega this when I was on the phone with him. That kick, and Mace will agree, that kick that Randy Orton gave Sheamus was a legit kick. That wasn't worked at all. The end of that match, the ending after the DQ, the RKO on the announce table, all of that, he shot on Sheamus hardcore. And Sheamus deserved every bit of it.
Interesting point of view. Alan.
So it was a receipt for something that happened during the match that I may have missed? missed or the average fan would have missed that he got so stiff with the kick?
It was the botched ending. I guarantee you Sheamus botched that ending.
No, I think Linda McMahon's political people botched that ending by going, hey, wait a minute, remember, we're PG, dude, put the chair down. Can't use a chair like that. I want to say give congrats to the WWE for making their announce tables super strong now. The 300-pound Irish guy and a 250-pound American didn't take out your table, but at WrestleMania, Edge and everyone else took them out. The only other thing to say about this match, Night of Champions, September 19th, that we're going to get to watch this again.
Again.
But is there, but Omega's saying, and I'm not, this isn't a rip on Omega, but he's saying, you know, we've seen these matches Raw and SmackDown. Flip this back 15, 20 years to when you had one pay-per-view and you had just WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and SummerSlam. You go to the house shows, that's what you saw. You saw feuds that lasted for months at a time. And in this day and age, unfortunately, I think the average feud lasts a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown just to get to the pay-per-view.
I didn't say anything about that.
No, I'm not. That's why I wasn't attacking him. I was just making a point that it's just amazing that it just feels that.
Spit it out. Come on.
I just did.
Today, Juniors.
I just did. It's just very weird that 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have had this conversation about, you know, we saw these matches on SmackDown and Raw.
It's not
10 or 20 years ago, we didn't have Raw or SmackDown.
No, I get what he's saying.
You had Primetime Wrestling.
Go ahead, Spug.
I get what he's saying. He's not talking about the length of the feud. What he's talking about is the quality of the match. These match qualities are SmackDown and Raw match qualities. They're not pay-per-view match qualities.
Okay. I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You're entitled to your point of view just to, like, as everybody else is. But I, like, knowing Omega for as long as I have, and Omega will admit I call him during the pay-per-views and we bullshit for a little bit, and he said the same thing to me on the phone. So I get exactly what he's saying. It's the quality of match, not the length of the feud.
Right.
And I completely agree.
Well, I think this is just about the point in time where I go and grab a bag of salt and vinegar potato chips. While we continue to look at the pay-per-view. What's next? It's the world title match. Rey Mysterio takes on Kane. Kane retains. Who's surprised that Undertaker showed up?
I did like the reference as someone that's written 7 screenplays and is a Hollywood nut. It was kind of funny to be in Hollywood. And as I joked in our private chat, in certain films, things happen in threes. Like if you go to the reboot, if you go to watch the Steven Soderbergh movie Out of Sight, they teased one of the characters getting killed three different things. They were like, okay, first time not going to happen, second time not going to happen, third time, bang, there it was. And that was pretty cool. I kept looking, going like, is Chris Angel in the audience? Is there like a magician somewhere? Is the guy from America's Got Talent here? Come on, look, he's in the box.
There you go. All right.
That was the funniest part of that whole match. That was the best entertaining part of that whole match. Was it's like he opened the box and you hear 15,000-16,000 people going, "Ah, oh, crap."
Yeah.
There we went a second. It's been funny if like the second time there was like a Mae Young or some random person randomly in the box going like, "Oh, sorry," and closed it up and like, "Oh, he's not here now."
Hey, it's Michelle McCool. It's like, there's Matt Hardy's career. Wow.
Sarah Calloway, what are you doing here? Oh, sorry, wrong house.
Whoa, yeah.
I went there. Deal with it.
There. I don't believe you went there. No, I'm kidding.
He's a cheater. Deal with it.
There you go. Okay, Mace.
I'm going to go with my stock standard. Meh.
Patent pending, copyright Mace, 2010.
There you go.
The wow reference of meh.
Yeah. All right.
That's really what it is. It's a meh. I'm with Mace on this one. It's a meh. And I don't know how many ways.
I'm going to sue you for that, Spoke.
I hate your face.
Why don't you? Why don't you?
Carino's suing you for that one.
Yeah. God, just, I hate your face. Mace, just take him off the air for copyright infringement.
You know, I don't know how many ways WWE could have spelled it out that Taker was coming back. Like, I have the WWE Classic subscription. So I can go, like, on their website and watch pretty much any match I want, anytime I want. And, I was on there today watching the Royal Rumble from 92 again for some odd reason. And at the top of the website, they have the advertisement for SummerSlam. And it's, you know, like they show the picture of, for the title match of Kane versus Rey Mysterio. And then the next thing they show is The Undertaker. And then they show the John Cena thing. And I'm like, really? Really? You're just gonna throw it out there on your website that he's gonna be there tonight?
Oh, foreshadowing. Big foreshadowing there, eh, boss?
No kidding. Omega.
Every time I opened up that... See, here's the thing. Every time they opened up that casket during that match, yes, going to it three times and nothing being there, that's kind of a good psych out. I mean, you open it, so, you know, one too many times, and well, maybe nothing is going to happen. But every time you do it, you get another look at the trap door that's obviously there in the bottom of the casket. So one too many times, I would assume. And, you know, yeah, it was predictable as hell, unfortunately. For as cool as a spot as it should be, you know, you could have seen it coming a thousand miles away. And the match itself, again, was really nothing to write home about. It's a Rey Mysterio versus a big guy match, well, which is pretty much every Mysterio match, granted. But, I don't know, it was typical of both the guys. And typical isn't what I want out of a SummerSlam pay-per-view.
The psyche, huh?
Yeah, well, considering it is one of the big four pay-per-views, I expect everyone to step it up a notch, not phone in what they would have done on, you know, any old pay-per-view, no-name pay-per-view. I mean, this almost felt like, literally, this almost reminded me of, like, an in-your-house event.
Uh-huh.
You had to pull out the in-your-house reference, didn't you?
Absolutely.
I pulled it out while we were watching this thing. I was going, this
okay,
is a
well,
six-match
well, Alan,
with Alan, you? Whoa.
We don't want to hear about you pulling it out. Put it back. I mean, you got a wife. Cut that out.
But that's how I remarked to that when we were sitting in the chat. As I after this match was over, or actually the SmackDown World title match was over, I said, wait a minute. It's this time and we still have just two matches to go? Holy cow.
Yeah, unbelievably enough.
Six-match SummerSlam. I don't think that's ever happened, even at 91 when they did the Randy Savage-Elizabeth marriage, and I was there for that.
Yeah, well, they managed the time remarkably well, that's for damn sure. Of course, they took enough time getting Nexus out and doing the swerve, but we're gonna get to that, like, right now, as a matter of fact. The main event, before it happened, this was what was posted on WWE.com. Congratulations, WWE, for fucking up a perfect swerve. By posting before it even happened what was going to happen. And I'm quoting here from WWE.com. While Cena did appear on the Titantron to address Miz, he wasn't there to stroke the Cleveland Screamer's ego. Instead, he informed the entire WWE universe that the Team WWE's seventh man would be none other than a former member of Nexus, Daniel Bryan. A humiliated Miz, Bryan's former WWE pro on season 1 of NXT, went apoplectic at being slighted and let everyone within earshot know of his dissatisfaction. As for Bryan, he had one word to describe the development. Awesome! And that was a direct quote from WWE.com, brought to our attention by tonight's producer extraordinaire, yes, the one, the only, Rock and Sock, who caught that. And again, he caught that just as the World Heavyweight title match closing moments were happening.
I caught it because I'm awesome, but that's just besides the point.
Yeah, okay, you're the Rock and Sock, and you're awesome.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. So there you go. So, Team WWE versus Team Nexus in an elimination tag match. First one eliminated is Young by Daniel Bryan.
Love Daniel Bryan.
Marked really? Yeah.
Marked out so hard.
There you go.
I think I peed my pants a little bit when he came out.
Okay, tell you what, I'm going to go through all the eliminations and we'll talk about the match and move on from there. So the second elimination was Tarver by Morrison. Morrison became the third to be eliminated by Sheffield. And then R-Truth gets eliminated by, again, Sheffield. In comes Brett, the Hitman Hart, and he's going to town looking really good. Disqualified because he used a chair that Barrett happened to throw in to the ring. And so Sheffield is still in there. Edge comes in and gets Sheffield on the 1-2-3 after a spear. David Otunga gets eliminated by Y2J. Y2J gets eliminated by Slater. Slater eliminates Edge for the ninth elimination. And this was after Cena and Edge obviously had words in the corner of the ring. Edge obviously giving off the impression that he was, you know, distracted. He goes and he spears Cena. Slater, eliminated by Danielson. The 11th one gone is Danielson. Thank you, Mike Mizanin. We'll explain that when we start talking about it, if you missed it. The 12th one eliminated is Gabriel by Cena. And Superman gets the last elimination. Wade Barrett's the last one out. Let's take a look at this. We'll start with you, Omega.
Okay, yes, this would have been an incredible setup and build up for Bryan Danielson, because the whole time we've been working up with the Nexus, the whole basis has been they are 100%. They are flawless. They are united. They are one. And then Cena's like, no, you're not. I have your one crack, and he's our seventh member. And that's a perfect build up. And yeah, they did a decent job swerving us with him. Fine by me. All that went fine.
Yeah.
And coming in and getting the first elimination as fast as he did, that, you know, great. I mean, that's a good way of booking his return. And then the last 15 minutes of this were the single most goddamn boring minutes of my entire life. And except for the little part in which Danielson got back into the ring and completely exploded it. It's like lightning fast, all over the place, you know, efficient as hell. I mean, he looked threatening as hell when he went back into the match. You know, like he could have beaten the rest of the Nexus on his own, and I would have believed it at that time. And the worst booking I've ever seen was Miz coming out and bashing him and getting him out of the match, because that just killed any momentum, any heat in this match, and we went right back to working over Cena, which was the previous 10 minutes before Bryan Danielson got back into the ring. And then, of course, we have the Superman ending, because he cannot lose, no matter how many people he's against. It's just, there was such potential there, and it got completely fucking squandered.
Totally destroyed, in your opinion.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they completely ruined what should have been an incredible comeback and an incredible moment in SummerSlam, what might have saved this pay-per-view, and they shit on it. Just to make sure that you knew Miz was an asshole.
Hey, there you go, yeah. Spug!
You know, Omega, the WWE did do us a favor at one point. They let Bryan Danielson put out that goddamn ginger fuck. And I don't care that Tim's child is a ginger. I have nothing against Tim's kid Owen. But that kid, Heath Slater, in the middle of the ring, looked like a goddamn retarded monkey throwing feces from a tree branch.
He looks... No, not a retarded monkey. Retarded orangutan.
It's a primate. It is of the monkey family.
He can't look like a retarded monkey. That'd be very offensive to the writers for WWE.
Or the monkeys.
Yeah.
Or monkeys.
There you go. Okay, so you want to do any breakdowns of any part of this elimination thing at all?
The other thing I have to say is, who was the guy that put out R-Truth? Justin, that wasn't Gabriel.
No, that was Sheffield.
Sheffield? He looks like a walking penis, by the way. Draw a circle around his forehead, the back of his head, and put a dot on the top of his head and just let him stand there. He looks like a giant penis. I kid you not. It has nothing to do with he's bald. He looks like a giant penis.
Alrighty.
Anyway, to break down the match, they had enormous potential to continue what has been a decent feud. Unfortunately, WWE does what they always do and jerks off all over themselves and fucks it up in the end. I mean, I really think that if there were any feuds that came out of this, we're probably going to get a Wade Barrett John Cena feud, and I like Wade Barrett. I think he's a good heel. And being British doesn't hurt, because any American hates the British. We hate them more than we hate Canadians. But I think that'll be a good feud. Of course, at Night of Champions, you're going to see Miz versus Bryan Danielson, which is going to be awesome, because I can't wait to see Miz tap like a bitch. I really can't. Because you know that Danielson's going to shoot on him and lock that thing in and not let him go.
And that'll
so I can't wait for that. I just hope Michael Cole gets it first and he breaks his jaw so he can't talk for a good 6 months.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and you want that to
just
be
saying.
I fucking hate Cole. I fucking hate him now. even at the end of the match where he's still going, it was a mistake to bring in Danielson. That's going to fuck you. If you had noticed, he took out two members of Nexus better than Cena did.
Speaking of Michael Cole, I have the Elimination Chamber anthology DVD, which isn't a bad DVD. I'm listening to Michael Cole call an Elimination Chamber match, and he keeps calling it Lexon. All right? Plexiglass is referred to as Lexan. He had King, Stryker, McMahon, JR, and Taz all correct him and call it Lexan. And he still continued to call it Lexon.
Cool.
That just shows you how shit of a commentator this dude is.
Vintage. Alan. Vintage.
I'm going along with everybody else here. They swerved a lot of people by having Bryan Danielson, whatever he is called. And yeah, I'm proud to say I was one of them that was swerved. It was just like, okay, cool. He's here. Big woo. I would have liked it. We talked about it in the private chat. I would have liked it if Bret Hart had stepped back and you got Zanin and Danielson in the 7-man team just to see, okay, who's going to turn on who. We had remarked about it also that Cena was on the apron for a long time and would say, oh, is this where, you know, everybody wants Danielson to swerve? I was like, what if Cena swerves? What if, you know, someone else swerves? And I agree with everyone else. I would rather have seen Marky Mark get pinned and then Daniel Bryan save the day, but hey, this is the WWE. He's like a lot of movie actors that they'll never die on screen in an action movie, even if they're pinned down by 85 people, Sylvester Stallone. And Marky Mark's never gonna lose on a pay-per-view like this, so.
Yeah, kinda sucky.
All right. Mace go to sleep? Mace, wake up, dude. The pay-per-view's over, man. I'm sorry, Marky Mark won.
It's your turn, Mason. Yes.
Feel the vibration, yes, babe.
I'm still here. Yeah, this one started out great. Amazing momentum with the return of Bryan Danielson. You know, he comes in, fucking locks guy up, makes him tap in the first, like, 30 seconds of the match. Great back and forth. Keeps going. And then all of a sudden,
Danielson is eliminated, and somebody hit the brakes on the motherfucking momentum. Because that, it's like, car, brick wall, bang. Oh, look, momentum's dead. From there, it just went downhill. And I actually had a great ending planned out in my head that had Cena turning around at the last minute when it's Danielson and Cena up against Barrett. Cena turns around, clobbers the crap out of Danielson, grabs a tie, wraps it around his neck, chokes him out, going, this is for, what's his face? Roberts.
Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts. And he joins Barrett and becomes the mastermind behind the entire thing. And we have, like, Cena versus Danielson for the next pay-per-view, which would have been fucking enjoyable. Like, don't get me wrong, it's going to be fun to watch Marky Mark beat the crap out of Barrett next month. And yes, like Spug said, Miz is going to tap like a bitch and I'm going to laugh my ass off.
See? But, see? But, I can't wait, dude.
But, yeah, this match would have been so much better if they just didn't kill the momentum dead near the end of the match and turn it into the typical Marky Mark finish. I'm sorry, but, yeah, one moment does not a pay-per-view make.
Yeah, no, I would have, with this match, I would have been happy to see Cena get eliminated and maybe Chris Jericho wind up being the last one. I can understand what they're doing with the Miz and Danielson, and that's your next feud, and you watch Danielson will pin the Miz to get the U.S. title off him. Bryan Daniel becomes your next WWE United States champion. While the Miz is still carrying Money in the Bank, he will wind up eventually cashing that damn thing in and holding the WWE title for about 3 or 4 months. But they used this to get that feud jump-started. I just wish that it was Cena, you know, Mr. I'm the leader of the WWE. Oh, wait a minute, Chris Jericho, you want to be the leader of the WWE. Have Cena eliminated mid-match, so it's Jericho and Danielson. Wouldn't that have been a little more fitting? You stop and you think about season one of NXT?
I think it would have been a little bit of a better ending if you, you know, because one thing that really should have happened was I really think Nexus should have won this match to begin with, just because you build them up as this unstoppable force for this long, and Cena being at their mercy for this long doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, even for the Superman finish, even under normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Cena pinned halfway through the match, then instantly your expectations for the match are gone. And if Jericho takes over leadership and Nexus wins, then Jericho now has a character clash to work something with. You know, it might give him a reason to leave because he wants to take a break and do music again, or it might give him a reason to, you know, kind of change up the character he's had basically since his return as a face kind of failed on him.
Well, here's what my thinking on that would be for the extension. You're talking about the character clash. That would absolutely perfectly set up a feud. Yes, I know, we've seen it before, but another feud between Cena and Jericho. And I might be in the minority when I say this, but I would like to see Jericho and Cena in a in another program, in another feud. What do you think about that, Mace?
Meh.
Okay.
Now available on WildTalkRadio.com as a T-shirt under the Mace title.
Yeah, but as soon as John Cena wound up being the last member of Team WWE, I started cheering for the Nexus, even though I figured, yeah, not Superman's going to do it. So, final thoughts on the pay-per-view overall, starting with Omega.
Half of this show I saw on SmackDown. The other half was horribly booked, terrible finishes with no thought. And this... Ugh, God. And no one stepped their game up except for Bryan Danielson. He was the only one putting on pay-per-view quality performance in this entire event. And he's the guy who hasn't been on TV in 3 months. This whole thing to me is, this is a D-. And the only reason it's not an F paper, one, because it's SummerSlam. It should be a lot better than this. And number two, I want to give it an F, period, but it's not
it's not December to dismember.
Ouch! December to disremember.
Ouch! Damn! Oh.
Go, Mace.
Meh. Okay, seriously. This entire pay-per-view was absolute dog shit from pretty much start to finish. I've seen, you know, I was hiding out in chat rooms. People know where I am usually during pay-per-views. People are going, oh my god, it's a triple plus because Danielson's back. I'm sorry, his return does not make this pay-per-view awesome. Even if this was like a friggin', what would they call Ellen, the thing you referenced?
Which part?
The pay-per-view house show thingies.
In Your House.
What, In Your House?
That's the one. That's the one. Even if it was one of those shows, it would still rank pretty low. The fact that this was SummerSlam, supposed to be the biggest event of the summer, and frankly, it was nowhere near that, I'm giving this an E-, because frankly, this was absolute fucking dog's bollocks. And again, the only reason why it's an F is because, well, Danielson's appearance and quick submission at the start of the match improved it slightly, but not much.
There you go. Spug.
I'm going to give this pay-per-view a C-.
Whoa, high praise.
A C- is high praise?
Compared to the rest of the fucking panel.
It's a C-. Dude, it was a Raw. I mean, it was a Raw and a SmackDown. It was a super show. Except they charged you $45 to watch it instead of putting it on USA.
Saturday
fuck
night, speaking of events. On Sunday.
Fuck them.
For $50. Okay.
Oh,
so
and mark my word, in the next 365 days, Bryan Danielson will get his hands on the WWE title.
Oh, that's probably a fairly safe bet. Alan.
No, wait, Spud, happen. He hasn't been injured, he hasn't made his big return for the number one contendership.
Question mark.
He hasn't had the question mark shitty match, so he can't win the belt. It just doesn't work out to their formula, dude.
That's right. Never mind. I'm sorry. We can't have good wrestlers win the title.
There you go. All right. Now we'll go to you, Alan.
I can't get this ready to tape, Rock. This was worse than last week's pay-per-view. This was worse than what I watched last week. And what I watched last week was bad.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
The only way to have saved this pay-per-view would have been Bryan Danielson standing over John Cena, choking him with Justin Roberts' tie. Like everybody was saying, this was a typical Monday Night Raw. This was a typical SmackDown. I'm very disappointed in WWE. This has to be one of the worst SummerSlams in the 20, I think Cole said it was a 23-year history of this, and I've been to a couple of them. Horrible.
Yeah, definitely this is the worst SummerSlam I've ever had the misfortune of witnessing. Not impressed, not happy. I want my money back.
Not like you paid for it.
I still want my money back.
Tim, so would you say that this is a WWE exercise in basically saying to the people, you will buy any shit we put out?
Well, it just seems every now and then WWE makes that statement by putting out crap that people buy and pay for. Last year, SummerSlam did 325,000 buys. If they get 300,000 on this one, that would be a hell of a surprise. There, you know, the build-up, not really good. They had three matches that they built up, really. All right.
They didn't have three that they really built up. You can't call Kane Mysterio build-up. You know why? Because it was all inevitable that Undertaker was coming back at the end of that match. So the only thing they built up was Undertaker's return. That's it.
There you go. Yeah. So, in our collective esteemed opinion, not worth the money. So if you were thinking about getting the replay, if you didn't see it live, don't bother. Don't waste your time. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wars Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got more coming up. Roundtable returns to Wrestle Talk Radio on the other side of this quick little timeout.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Wojnarowski.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time, remember, we're on Eastern Time, till basically me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry.
Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Booger Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The old school style will be
this is the King of Old School, Steve.
Turner, the AWA World Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Pilot Room. Thank you, Beth.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, 10:39 p.m. Standard Time, 12:39 a.m. Eastern Time, and something like 5:39 a.m. in the United Kingdom. Just thought I'd keep you up to date on what time it is in different places of the world.
So, Tim, when's the weather forecast coming up?
If you want the weather forecast, stick your head out the fucking window.
Because it's always time and temperature, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And
or you can wait till after sports.
Yeah, weather after sports. Now this. Yeah, yeah. All right, so really, really quickly, guys, before we get into Roundtable, courtesy of the Spug Guy, fake Hogan Twitter account fools Bischoff and Bubba the Love Sponge. Did you hear about this?
Oh, wow.
Did you
think
it'd
take a lot? I don't think it'd take a lot to fool Bubba the Love Sponge.
Bubba the cum rag, yeah. But did you hear about it?
Heard about it, yeah.
Mace, you hear about that?
No.
Hear about it. My diabolical plan is finally working.
I knew it was you, Spug. God damn it, you had my hopes up. Bischoff and Hogan both leading because there are changes afoot. How dare you swerve us like that?
if it weren't for those snooping kids and that damn dog.
Well, the funny, those meddlesome kids and the damn dog. There you go. The funny thing is, you know, it was so beautifully done that Eric Bischoff, Eazy-E, was actually taken in by it.
Dude. That dude could be taken in by a bologna sandwich that smelled funny.
Oh, boy. Okay. So,
God, it's a magic bologna sandwich.
Yeah, there you go. I thought it was funny. So, Spug, this is your idea. This is your topic. Why don't you bring us into it?
It is my idea, and it is my topic. While I was off work for the week last week, like I said, I have this subscription to WWEClassics.com, and I'm watching videos, and I'm talking with Rock, and I said to Rock, no black guy's ever won the WWE title. And he immediately says, well, The Rock won it. And then that started the whole debate of, well, is The Rock really Samoan or is he black? And we came to the conclusion that he's actually Samoan. He's not really black. I mean, his dad was black, but he considers himself to be Samoan. So that led me to the whole interesting thing of the NWA's had black champions, the AWA's had black champions, WCW had a black champion. How come WWE's never had one? And the debate is, why has there never been a black man to win the WWE title? Bobo Brazil chased it forever against Bruno Sammartino all over the globe and never won it. You know, we've had numerous black men in the current decade come close, but they've never actually won the WWE title. / WWF title. Now, people can throw out that Booker T won the World Heavyweight title while he was in WWE, still not the company's title. That is a title that they acquired through buying out another company. That is not the company's title with the company's name on it. So that was the whole basis of this. And there'll be more debate topics to come. But this is just the first one.
There you go. So throw it out for debate.
Well, I'm throwing it out there. You can start it there, Canadian.
Well, I was in the middle of taking a drag off my cigarette. I was kind of in the middle of throwing it out there. Throw it out there for debate. Alan, what's your opinion?
Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a second because he totally threw me. I was like, but wait, the Ron Simmons. Oh, crap, other company. That's right.
Ron Simmons won the ECW title. He won the ECW title, and he won the NWA title. Ron Killings won the NWA title.
Didn't he hold a tag title in WWE? Weren't the Acolytes tag champs title at one point?
Yes. Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson held the tag titles, and they were black men. I'm not talking about the Intercontinental title, the European Championship, the Hardcore title, the tag titles. I'm talking about the company's headline title, the WWF/WWE Heavyweight Championship. No
so
black
man. So is this thing you're calling Vince McMahon and his entire booking staff racist?
No, I'm not calling them racists. What I'm asking is, why has a black man never won that title?
Why hasn't an Asian man won that title?
Why has Latinos never won that title? No, I take it back. Eddie won the title.
Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie won the title. But an Asian has not won many titles.
I don't know. I'm not a part of Vince McMahon's inner circle. I wish I was. If you want me to speculate why, I honestly don't know. Because like you said, a lot of the Southern promoters, I mean, Bill Watts for all the years that he was in charge, go back and look at the Mid-South stuff. Who was his top draws? Big Cat Ernie Ladd, Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
So I don't understand if he wants, I'm not really sure what Spug's trying to get at here, maybe because I've never done this roundtable thing, so you're probably
I'm not trying to get at anything. I'm not trying to assume anything. What I'm trying to get is your opinion on why you think a black man has never won the WWE title, when there have been numerous that have proven that they could hold the title. Ernie Ladd was in WWE. Junkyard Dog was in WWE/WWF. Ron Simmons has been there for a while. Why did he never hold it?
Well, here's another name that...
Because he was Farouk.
God-awful
outfit.
Here's another name that you haven't brought up yet, Spug. Bad News Brown was brought into WWF by Hulk Hogan specifically to drop the WWF title to him while he went to film The Nanny. Vince put the kibosh on that one 3 weeks afterwards.
You get my point here. I mean, you see why I brought this up, because it was just rather peculiar to me that a man of African-American descent has never won it when there have been plenty who have proven that they could.
Yeah, Mace, chime in. Your turn.
Monkeys. Seriously, I have nothing to add to this. I'm sort of looking at it going, yeah, Spug's right. There's not really much else you can say about it.
Yeah, okay. Omega, what have you got to say about this?
See, now, as you guys have been talking, I'm trying to pour through my head, and now, I will admit I have a little knowledge of the old school, though I have never gone back and watched the old matches. You know, I don't know Junkyard Dog as well as, you know, Alan or Spug would. Now, there's a whole generation of wrestlers there from the WWF that I'm woefully uneducated on. So I'm looking at this more in the modern standpoint. I started off in the, like, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels era before we hit the Attitude era. That's where I started in on this. And I'm trying to think back in my head, you know, I'm trying to remember some black wrestler that was in the WWF/WWE in the last 20 years that I honestly felt had the ability to hold the belt, not just with wrestling ability, but, you know, just with charisma, being over with the crowd, you know, being able to work the crowd, get over, and being able to deliver their character well. I'm trying to think of a total package that was actually black, and unfortunately, I can't think of one. I mean, I don't think it's more the matter of, well,
Booker T.
Booker T, yeah, he won the sub belt. I think that was more That's Booker T is like the only wild card in this because yeah, he did win the heavyweight title on SmackDown, but that's a consequence of being on SmackDown. But then again, if he had been on Raw, where you know you had Triple H and Cena dominating, and you had all these big stars that were stacked up on the headline show, I don't think Booker T would have won any title. Maybe an Intercontinental belt, but not, you know, certainly not in the top title contention. I don't think it's so much the fact that, well, there's, you know, like no insinuation here that WWE is racist. I'm just, the people that have come along that could have been there, like Shelton Benjamin, if he didn't suck on the mic, might have had a shot one day, and then he became a botch fest. You got guys like Kofi Kingston now that could get there one day. Maybe, don't know. But you've had guys with potential, but none that ever really finished it. I don't think it's so much, there's something behind that little fact. I think it's just coincidence that it hasn't happened yet.
Well, alright, you had Farouk. You said you started watching in the Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart days. Well, Farouk came in that time period.
Yeah, unfortunately, Farouk got saddled with the whole acolyte gimmick. I don't know. I mean, he was good in... Farouk, I remember being good in character, and of course, yeah, he was... You know, him and Bradshaw put on a great tag team in that era. But I can't remember him as shining very well on his own. I know Ron Simmons in WCW was a world champion. I know he held the belt before. But I can't remember him standing out all that much in the WWF.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, and someone correct me, because you often do. Y'all often do. But Ron Simmons was the first black man to hold the NWA World Heavyweight title. And I think we can all agree that the NWA heavyweight title is a little more prestigious than the WWE title. Alan is telling me I am correct.
Correct.
Tim, everybody so, else chimed up.
According to the listings I'm looking at, Now I've lost it.
Simmons took it off Big Van Vader and then dropped it to Big Van Vader during the Bill Watts administration, if I remember right.
But he still held it.
Yeah.
He still held it. That was still his belt. I mean, he was, for a time, he was the NWA World Heavyweight title holder.
And I was in Nashville the night that Ron Killings took the belt off Ken Shamrock, and that was pretty cool. That he was a black guy. I thought it was pretty cool to see a world title change in person.
I'm not trying to single out it by race. I just thought it was peculiar that in the, you know, 40 or 50 year history of the WWF and its many incarnations, the WWWF, the WWF, and now WWE, that a African American has never held their version of the heavyweight title. Now, Tim, you come from Canada, and you come from Calgary, where there is Stampede, was Stampede at one point, and they have a rich history and respect for wrestlers, no matter the color. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bad News Allen did hold their version of the heavyweight title, did he not?
The heavyweight title in Stampede Wrestling was held by Bad News Allen on more than one occasion.
See? So why is it that WWE can't see fit to give a African American the heavyweight title?
Well, I happen to know for a fact that Vince McMahon Sr. said something a long time ago before Vincent Kennedy McMahon bought the promotion from his dad and took it in the direction that he did take it. And I am quoting, "No nigger will ever hold the WWF title." That's a quote. Please don't think that I'm being racist by saying that. But that is what McMahon Sr., when he was running his promotion, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, said. And I can't help but wonder if maybe the son has kept the old man's word, not out of racism, but out of some kind of misguided loyalty to his father. And, you know, thinking, well, my dad said that, you know, when he was running this promotion, that no black man would ever hold that title. So, I'm living up to that. You know, who knows? Maybe that's it. As far as racism goes, sorry if you disagree, but it's a globally known fact everywhere else in the world that the most segregated and racist place on earth today, aside from South Africa, is the United States of America. And you guys keep saying, well, equal rights is this and equal rights is, and a black man has every right as a white man. Yeah, but how many of you don't want your daughter marrying one? Seriously. I am not
I could care less. And okay.
You're one of the good ones, Spug. Okay.
I'm not trying to turn, honestly, I'm not trying to turn this into a race debate. I'm really not. That's not where I'm trying to go with this. But what I am trying to get at is that I just thought it was peculiar that all over the world, even in Japan, there have been black men that have held the world, their version of the world heavyweight title.
Well, have any Asians held the world heavyweight title in Japan?
Probably several. But you get my point. I mean, all over the world, in various promotions, there have been black men that have held their version of the heavyweight title. Yet, in the global icon, what that company in Connecticut considers themselves the standard of professional wrestling, in their history, not one has held the world their version of the heavyweight championship, the WWF, WWE, WWF, WWWF championship, you know, their version of it, their version of the heavyweight title. No black man has ever held it, and yet you've had Ron Simmons, Ron Killings, you've had Booker T, you've had Rocky Johnson, and like I said, people will say The Rock was the first black man to hold that title. He doesn't consider himself black, just like Tiger doesn't consider himself black.
Yeah,
Rock considers himself Samoan, so I don't even put him in that argument because it's too much red tape to cut through.
Okay, here's a rationalization to that argument. You say that Tiger doesn't consider himself quote-unquote African-American, and neither does The Rock. The Rock says, hey, I'm Samoan. Tiger says, hey, I'm Filipino. The African-American community, for the most part, accepts The Rock as a black man, even though he says, no, I'm Samoan, bitch. And the African-American community has taken Tiger Woods into the fold as one of their own, at least up until he fucked around on Elin, which was, like, we all agree, incredibly stupid. You don't cheat on a supermodel. I mean, right? But
dude, I could be black if I ate the right amount of barbecue and drank the right amount of grape soda.
Oh!
Oh!
And here you say you weren't going to turn it into a racist discussion. Oh, my goodness.
I had to throw one out there.
Okay, everybody, just so you know, first off, the words of Spug aren't necessarily reflective of the thoughts or opinions of the rest of the WTR crew. First off. Secondly, he's just yanking your chain. Rock, you got something to say?
I have a question for Spug. Okay. We've had this debate kind of a little bit, and that's why we did the segment. In your opinion, who would you make this, the historic moment, who would be the first black champion you would put the belt on?
The first... Someone... Does it have to be someone current? Or can I go back in time?
Go back in time. We'll do it. Go back in time.
JYD.
Why's that?
Because I think for his era, JYD was a bigger fan favorite than Hogan. At points. To be quite honest. And I think that, I mean, JYD held the title for Bill Watts. JYD was a fan draw, and people loved him. And so I would have given that historic moment to JYD. If not JYD, Bobo Brazil. Because him and Bruno Sammartino had some of the most brutal matches I've ever seen on tape. Go watch some of their cage matches.
All right, how about everyone else? Who would you guys have opinion? Mega, Mace, Tim?
You want us to go in that order?
It doesn't matter. Why don't you chime in? And
yes, Mace is going to answer the second Rock shuts the fuck up. I'm sort of going by current roster only. You know, I really can't be bothered looking back into history too far, or else my brain goes... and you got me sitting here for the rest of the night going, meh. Basically, current roster, if they were to try and elevate somebody to that main event status and actually give him a title, I'd probably go with, hey, Kool-Aid! Mark Henry.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, alright. What about you, Timmy?
You know, this is like, anyone in history.
Anyone in WWF history.
Okay, I got two options. I got two choices. Bad News Allen, definitely deserved it. Legitimate badass, somebody who could have carried that title, somebody who could have made money for WWF as champion back when carrying the title meant that you were carried the company. And, I was a good friend of Bad News Allen's, Bad News Brown, and all that other stuff. I'm not even thinking bias. You know, I saw him in WWF going up against Hulk Hogan delivering the Ghetto Blaster, everybody just being a legitimate badass on my TV. This is before I knew him, other than to go to Stampede Wrestling shows and watch him kick the living crap out of Owen Hart. On a regular basis, only to lose to him at the end of the day. But the other one would be Junkyard Dog.
All right, Omega, what about you?
I can't go that far back, but I'd probably throw my hat in for Booker T. I thought at that point, aside from the lame-ass King Booker gimmick that he was running on. I thought he had the total package at that point in his career. If he was on Raw, I would have put the WWE belt on him without batting an eye.
Okay. Rock, what about you?
Booker T's a good one. I would go with Ron Simmons. When they were pushing him early in his WWF career, you would think they were going to go there along with Ahmed Johnson, but they both kind of fizzled out. Those would have been my choices.
All right, Alan, you?
I would have gone Junkyard Dog, but unfortunately, look who he was in an era with. You had the Immortal Bald Spot there, and he wasn't giving up the belt, even if God himself walked into the building and said, I think I should be world champ. Hogan would go, no, I'm bigger than you. Sorry, go. I can go with Ron Simmons after they got that stupid blue outfit off him in 96 when he was with the Nation. I could have gone with that. If Ahmed Johnson actually knew how to tie his shoes without help, let alone wrestle, yeah, could have gone there.
Fair enough. Well, I guess this concludes our first session of our debate. Next week, what did we pick for next week, Rock?
I'm not sure. We have a bunch of them.
Yeah, we do have a bunch of them picked out.
So stay tuned, and we'll tell you on Facebook.
Yeah, we will, and now it's time for the next edition of The Great Debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate.
WrestleTalk Radio goes down south to find the all-time greatest WCW champion.
What are you gonna do when the power of all these Hulkamaniacs and Hulk Hogan runs wild on you? What are you gonna do?
wants to be the man. You gotta beat the man. Woo!
Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Oh, yeah, the great debate continues. WCW's greatest all-time heavyweight champion. This week, Kevin Nash takes on Vader. And our first matchup, Ric Flair versus Lex Luger Omega.
I don't think this is a fair contest in the least. I mean, Lex Luger was a situational champion, and you know his I believe he only had two title runs with the belt in the entire time that he was there, and one of them lasted a whole 5 days. It's not really the mark of a established champion of any kind. I mean, and really, what do I have to say about Ric Flair? Do I have to say anything about Ric Flair and the WCW title? He was the WCW title. He wins easy.
There you go. One for Ric Flair, Mace.
I'm gonna go with Mr. Backhand Chop Woo, Mr. Ric Flair, only because, well, I'm gonna just say this now. This is gonna come down to Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair. So, I'm automatically picking Flair because it's Flair, damn it.
There you go, two for Flair. Spug.
I'm gonna go with Luger. I mean, no, really. I'm gonna go with Flair. because as Omega said, that man was the WCW title. He was the NWA title, he was the WCW title. You know, whenever they needed somebody to get that company over, who'd they put the belt on? So there you go, Rick
David
Flair.
Arquette. They put the belt on David Arquette to get the company over.
That failed miserably.
Boom. Okay, so it's looking like clean sweep so far. Alan, you going to throw a wrench into the works, or are you going to drink the Kool-Aid?
Said it when we started this thing. Ric Flair wins this. You could put every wrestler on the planet in this. Ric Flair is God. Next.
There you go. Yeah, Ric Flair, hands down. Got to make it unanimous. I mean, Christ, it's Ric Flair. What else are you going to do? Especially when it goes up against Lex Luger. Come on. Whee. So there it is. Unanimous. Flair moves on. Big surprise to absolutely nobody. Next matchup sees Kevin Nash taking on Big Van Vader. Alan.
Vader. Kevin Nash sucks. And if you don't believe Kevin Nash sucks, look at him on Impact. The guy can barely get to the ring without tripping over his knee braces. I was a Vader mark when I first saw him as Big Van Vader from friends that sent me tapes from Japan. And saw bits and pieces of him as Leon White when he worked for AWA. I'm just like, God, this guy is awesome. That headdress he used to come out with, awesome. Kevin Nash was a fan of his for a while there with the NWO, but then once I got ridiculously smart to the business, just sat there going, damn it, this you got the championship because you booked yourself there, dude? Because you said, I'm going to be the one to stop Goldberg. And, yeah, goodbye, Vader. Thanks. Moving on.
There you go. All right, Spug.
Who's the match against again?
Vader Nash.
I'm going to go with Kevin Nash.
Ah, wow. Why?
Wow.
Because I think Kevin Nash tried to make the best of a bad situation when he booked himself as the champion. And that's the golden rule. You're never supposed to book yourself as champion. But I think Kevin Nash tried to do something for the betterment of the company. Vader, when Vader was champ, he wasn't champ for very long, if I remember correctly. I mean, he was only champ for what, like a month or two? If that.
Big Van Vader, 3 Tyler Reigns, totaling 377 days. Number 3 on the overall list.
All right. Well, then
He took Sting out at Bash 92, I think, the night that they did the NWA World Tag Title Tournament that the Steve Williams got the belts.
See, I don't know that much about WCW, so I'm picking purely on what I do know. So I'm going to change my vote and go with Vader then.
Okay, there you go. Two for Vader. Mace.
It's Vader time, bitches.
Back it up.
Are you looking, you're looking for me to elaborate? Do I really fucking need to? Kevin Nash booked himself into a title. Vader actually fucking earned it by being a wrestler. Enough said, move on.
Bada bing, bada boom, Omega.
This is another easy vote. This one's for Vader 2. He won those championships back when you had to earn the title by being really good at what you did. Nash, as said, booked himself into that championship. And it's not just that. I mean, let's remember the first time he did it, it was the cattle prod to Bill Goldberg, ending the streak, and then 8 days later, dropping it to Hogan with the finger poke of doom, which, that is, ending the streak, ending the NWO Wolfpack, and the finger poke of doom, three of the worst decisions in WCW's booking history, all coinciding with this one event. Not to mention later on, when another championship reign, he gave himself without even winning a match. Horrible, horrible, horrible way to treat that title. And some of the worst decisions all came about because Nash wanted the belt. So, Vader wins.
Oh, you guys are crazy. It's Kevin Nash hands down. Come on, think about it. He beat the Unstoppable Machine. He fucking beat Goldberg. And if you beat Goldberg, you get to be the greatest WCW champion of all time, brother.
And then he gets to lay down 8 days later for Hulk Hogan.
My vote goes for the big man himself, Big Van Vader. Two unanimous sweeps tonight on the Great Debate, guys.
Wasn't really hard giving the matchups for the round.
And the lack of competition.
Yeah.
So there you go, yeah. And that is the Great Debate. Yeah, all right. We already took our emergency break for our final break of the night. So why don't we just launch straight into Quick Hits?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Alrighty then, Wrestle Talk Radio's Quick Hits. Unfortunately, Will's not here. He's got the best questions of the night. So we're going to save those Will questions for him next week. That just means two fewer questions we have to come up with.
Woohoo!
Let's get this one kicked off with Spug. What recently retired current or currently unemployed pro wrestler would you like to see make a return or comeback either to WWE or TNA?
I gotta go with Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
And I know you're not a fan, because you're Canadian.
Yep, yep, yep. It's got nothing to do with me being Canadian.
It has everything to do with you being Canadian. You just can't appreciate a good American wrestler. But it's got to be Shawn Michaels. You know, the man is synonymous with the phrase WrestleMania moment. And I could care less if he came to WWE or TNA. I'd watch him wherever he went. Because he is that damn good. And that damn captivating.
Okay, there you go. Shawn Michaels making his return is on Spud's number one wish list. Omega, pick a current wrestler from anywhere to team with, and then give your tag team either a name or a gimmick or both.
Oh, jeez. Now you're once again asking me. God. I had this gimmick idea before. This can be anyone, right?
Yep. He's got to be current.
Jericho.
Okay.
Now, because I say this because a while back, a question was asked to Mace that gave me an idea for what my gimmick would be. And just last night, I kind of went on a tear of old Jericho promos and matches from WCW. And kind of reminded me that he had a very similar gimmick, and that was to be the collector, which was He would take Juventud Guerrero's mask, took Mysterio's knee brace or his shirt, or he'd take something from the people he defeated as trophies. And I liked that gimmick, and that just kind of suits my natural habits anyway.
Yeah, you are a collector of the First Order, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, all right, so we'll go with that one. So you'd team up with Y2J and call yourselves the Collectors.
I like it.
Cool, and that's your tag team name and gimmick all in one. Awesome. All right, moving on. Mace, with TNA apparently giving ECW members a quote-unquote proper send-off, who would you sign to a contract who currently does not have one?
I'm guessing you're talking from the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, from EV 2.0 Hardcore Justice.
Alright, I'd sign Little Guido, Tony Luke, Justin Credible, and CW Anderson, and Sabu.
Okay. No Balls Mahoney, or is it a case of you couldn't stand them having to hear the name Cajones every week?
I just didn't think that they had, like, the great match that... Like, they didn't seem like they could go as well as the other guys did.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll take your answer. Will is not here, so I can't ask Brock these questions, because it just wouldn't be as good.
Yeah,
so,
but Will's asking about the pay-per-view, though, so how to Will?
I'll tell Will to call in, and then we'll ask him the questions. But until and unless that happens, Alan, it's your turn. Here we go. Here's your first one. Outline a short push for a WWE or a TNA star who should be but is not currently in the main event picture.
Now, this sucks because the person I would push, I'd get smacked by you guys for going, yeah, you're friends with them, you like them. You guys were saying, who should be the first black WWE champion? Montel Vontavious Porter. Turn his ass back heel because he's way better as a heel. I never liked him as a baby, even when he worked down here in Florida under Antonio Banks. He needs to get turned back heel. He needs to possibly bring Percy Watson in as a heel as well. Keep him on, I think, I don't even remember what show he's on anymore. That's the bad part. We'll christen him back on SmackDown when they go to Sci-Fi Network, and just let him build and build till he can be the world champ and do it possibly by WrestleMania. Have him win the Rumble. Have him. He's my sentimental pick, and I get pissed off every week when I put on one of these two shows and I go, "Hey, Banks is on." Crap, no, he's not. All right, my reason to watch the show is over. Thanks.
Okay, so there you go. MVP gets the push because he's deserving of it, according to Alan. All right.
Damn
back
right
up. There you go. Back up to the top of the list. Spud! Okay, you do the geek thing on Wednesday nights with the Talkie Talk Live with Mace and Omega. That is whenever you show the fuck up. So this is your question. If you made a living in outer space, what would be your money-making thing?
Tribble farming.
Tribble farming? Really?
Because, goddamn it, everybody needs a little green pet.
You would pick tribble farming because it's so goddamn easy. All you got to do is feed them, and they reproduce.
Exactly, dude. I just have a barn full of tribbles.
Oh, holy fuck. All right. Well, we'll go with that one.
See, you were trying to fuck me over. Fuck you.
No, I wasn't, actually. We're going to skip the queue a little bit. Alan, here's your second question of the night. If you got into stand-up comedy, would you be more like George Carlin or Carrot Top, and why?
George Carlin, because he's a god of comedy. Carrot Top sucks. Move on, please.
Amen.
I can't believe you actually put Carrot Top even near Carlin.
Well, two completely different ends of the spectrum.
Blasphemy.
Right?
He shouldn't even be a he's not even a comedian. He's a has-been. I never was. And when he was in the, when he showed up in the back end of the pictures of The Hangover, I wanted to burn the film from seeing his ugly face.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, so there it is, George Carlin. And now, jumping all over the place, we're going to go to Mace. Mace, you're walking down the street and you come across two homeless people. One's a guy and one's a girl. Which one are you more likely to give some change to?
Neither, because I'm usually broke.
Or cheap. Okay. So, okay, which one would you be least unlikely to give money to?
Least unlikely. Well, alright, I'll answer it the way you pose it. I'd probably give the money to the guy, because at least the girl can earn it by giving blowjobs around the corner.
Ooh.
I was just gonna say he'd give it to the girl because if she wasn't unfortunate looking or smelled funny, he might get to bang her.
No misogyny here on WTR. My God. All right,
I blame Spug. He corrupted me with his pervertedness. I used to be so nice when I started on this fucking network.
You're welcome.
Did he share with you some of his 80,000 porn site links?
You don't share those with everybody. Don't think you're special.
We were all good Christian boys before we met Spug. Now we're goddamn heathens.
I was never a good Christian boy. Fuck you.
You don't make it out like I'm the great corrupter. Fuck you all.
Oh, I can hear the song right now.
You're the one making your kids say blood for the blood god.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just getting her prepped for the apocalypse.
Okay, so everybody in the chat room, vote for the WTR co-host most likely to have a bomb shelter in his backyard. Spug, hands down. It's unanimous. Woohoo! Omega, your turn. Mm-hmm. Last question of the night, and it's going to you. Now, here's what you got to do. Briefly explain the concept of a holodeck, and then tell us what your top three holodeck programs would be.
Oh, no. Okay, for all those who don't know, a holodeck uses... I'm trying to think. I'm losing my Star Trek-y terms. But it's basically your room that creates solid light and energy projections that you can interact with that are programmed to actually act like real people. It's all, yes, Tim, transporters and force fields, basically.
Sorry,
he's the bigger Star Trek geek than I am.
I'm the biggest Star Trek geek you'll ever fucking meet. What can I say? The only thing is, I don't go to public events in a Starfleet uniform.
But if you could, you would.
Then you're not a Star Trek geek. You are a poser.
No, I'm just not a weirdo. So anyway, back to you, Omega. Okay, you've adequately enough explained the holodeck idea. Now, what are your top three holodeck programs?
This is a little tough. Number one would probably be something more akin to Halo or Doom, your first person, your like completely insane first person shooter type game. You need a little bit more interactivity with.
Okay.
Let's see. Number two is hard. It'd have to be some kind of flight sim program, not just like, because I think everyone at one time has wanted to be able to fly around completely, no airplane, no nothing, just Superman around wherever you wanted to.
Yeah, okay.
If you'd be in a holodeck and do that around the rings of Saturn, for instance, I'd like, that'd be fun.
Okay.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. That would. Yeah, yeah. Number three.
Red Light Amsterdam.
Okay, Red Light Amsterdam. There you go.
There you go.
Unfortunately, you...
Hey, there are no STDs when it's holographic.
There you go. Yeah, well, okay, you don't completely 100% fail. The third answer saved your ass, and you're not a total nerd. However, the correct response would be blonde, brunette, redhead. Those are your top three programs.
You know what? You know what Tim's answer to that is? Any place where he can catch for Bret Hart.
Bite me, you slimy Ohio...
I think No, I think the three programs would have to be Tame, Kinky, and God, that's legal?
All with oh. Bret Hart.
Fuck off, Spock. That's a hang up on that son of a bitch. As a matter of fact.
Did you just use the transporter in your house to beam him out of this show? Star Trek person.
Yeah, the transporter in the force fields beamed his ass right the fuck out of here. Everybody!
You put him in the red jumpsuit, didn't you, when you beamed him?
Yeah, he was in red. He was wearing Starfleet red. There we go. That's it. This edition of Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in for our post-pay-per-view coverage of Summer Shit, which exactly it was. It was just absolutely retarded and ridiculous. Don't forget, Tuesday night, OWW Radio with your host, Alan Wojcik. Alan, what's happening?
I guess by law I have to recap this god-awful pay-per-view. We'll talk the whole effing show. Rumor has it a certain ROH star who bailed on us before may be reappearing. Not going to mention his name because I don't know if he's showing until the 10 o'clock interview time. And we may actually be talking Ultimate Fighting on the show. Not going to give that away yet either, but check out the Facebook. You'll get info. And I'll talk to Spug and Sorokin at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Yay.
There you go. So, yeah, you watch your very first UFC pay-per-view. Now you think you're knowledgeable enough to cover it. That'll be awesome. Tuesday night, OWW Radio.
Oh, hell no. Why do you think Spug's coming on a call at 1 o'clock? I don't know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
People on this network actually need me now. Fuck yeah. You, Stein.
Okay, this was me just, you know, cracking a joke at you, Alan. Your response was not required because it caused Spug to talk. I don't know who the hell led him through the holodeck doors, but anyway. Wednesday night, Otaku Talk Live. However the hell you want to pronounce it, it's Japanese for geek or nerd. And we've got three of them right here. Omega, Mace, and Spug. You guys got anything planned, or are you going to do some more bullshit?
I think, yeah, bullshit's a little bit more fun to do, because you never know what you're going to hear on Otaku Talk Live. Though there are a few things I want to bring up, including yet again another revival for Duke Nukem Forever. So for those with pre-orders, get them out. They might be valid now. And we'll probably find a few lists to rank down, for instance. The comic book ads that tried to get your children killed. I think that might be a fun discussion.
Huh.
You have to tune in.
Yeah, tune in Wednesday night to find out what the hell he's talking about. Stay tuned to the website and Facebook to find out about the return of Anything Goes with your hostess with the mostest, Cindy Sin. Yeah, and hey, tune in Friday night for some DJing. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to take to the airwaves and spin some tunes for you, take requests all night long. It's turned out to be extremely popular. We're getting like 30 people tuning in live at a time just on the Ustream. Never mind.
29 more than Mav.
Yeah.
Who's he?
Who? Exactly.
Never mind the shoutcast feed, which we also run, which is the audio only. So we're getting upwards of, and it's growing every time I get on there and do my DJ Tim Stein thing. Tune in Friday night, make your requests, have fun with us. We'll figure out a theme night, or if we're going to do a theme night. And that, of course, will happen right after Running the Ropes with Forget Math. And then, of course, next Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Tune in for more Merry Mayhem. Last night, surprise return, Ace showed up. You never know. Is he going to be back? Find out this Saturday night. And, of course, next Sunday, back at its regular time because there ain't no pay-per-view. We got another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you down the pipe.
Assholes.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, Check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.